That's the younger children. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you. It's been a long time since I've been up here. Oh, good. Well, how are you? Oh, by the way, this is Grandy. You want to say hi to Grandy?
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good.
Hello. What's your name? Don't want to tell me? That's okay. Well, it's so good to see you. My goodness, I'm so excited to get all these children coming. Hey, I got a story I want to share with you. Yes, thank you. I'm excited too. So let me tell you kind of the story that, and you've probably heard it before, but it goes along with the messages that we've been talking about God's guidance. And so one time, so here's the deal. You're going to pretend to be Samuel.
Okay.
And I'm going to kind of tell the story, and you and I are going to tell this story together.
Okay. I would love that.
So one day there was this lady who went to a church. Her name was Hannah. And she didn't have any children, and she wanted a child so badly. And so she said to, she was calling out to God and crying out to God in her heart. I said, God, if you will give me a son, I'll give this son back to you. And so she was crying out, and the preacher, whose name was Eli, looking at her said, what's wrong with you? She said, man, I'm just grieving in my heart because I want a son. And the preacher said this, Eli said this. He said, what you've asked for, God will give you. And so Hannah determined in her heart, that when God gave her a son, he would give that son back to God. And so she did have a son, and his name was Samuel.
That's me.
Yes, that's you.
Yes, it is.
And so after a few years, Hannah loved Samuel with all her heart. They had a wonderful time together, but Hannah knew that one day she was going to give Samuel back to God. And so when Samuel got old enough, Hannah took her son Samuel, her only son, her only child, took this child to the temple or to the tabernacle at the time and told Eli, I'm giving this child to you.
What? You're giving me to someone else? I don't want to stay with old preacher Eli. I want to go home with you.
But Hannah said, Samuel, I love you with all of my heart, but I made a promise to God, and my promise was that you were going to grow up here in the temple with Eli and learn the ways of God.
And I don't understand, Mother. I want to go home with you. I don't understand.
But I have to leave you.
Are you going to come see me?
Yes, I'll come see you.
Are you going to bring me a present?
Yes, I'll bring you a present.
Okay, Mother, so long.
And so Hannah left, and just like she promised every year, she would come back to visit Samuel and bring him some gifts, clothes mostly. But still, she loved Samuel with all her heart.
I loved my mother, too. It was so good to see her.
But as Samuel was growing up, he began taking on responsibilities in the temple.
I would dust the furniture, and I would open the doors for the folks to come in and worship. And I even got where I could light the candles.
You did?
Yes, I did.
And so he had a lot of chores. Do you have any chores to do? Children, do you have any chores you have to do? Do you? Sing things for you?
Oh,
yeah, you had to feed your cats. Well, Samuel had a lot of chores. But one night, things were different. What was different? Well, one night I went to bed and I went to sleep. So are you going to go to sleep? Oh, sure. And then he heard a voice. Samuel. And he thought it was Eli. So he runs into Eli's room and he says,
Mr. Eli, who did you call me for?
I didn't call you, Samuel.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Well, I must have been dreaming then.
You must have been. Why don't you go back to bed and go to sleep?
Okay.
So he went back to bed and he went to sleep. And he heard the voice again. Samuel. And he ran back into Eli's room.
Mr. Eli, you called me again. And I just wanted to know what you want. You know I'm here to help you. But I don't like getting woken up.
Well, Samuel, I did not call you.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Well, the preacher's not supposed to lie.
Well, I didn't call you. You go back to bed and go to sleep. So Samuel went back to bed and he went to sleep. And then he heard the sound again. Samuel. Samuel.
Look.
So he ran back into Mr. Eli's room.
Mr. Eli, this is the third time you've called me. And I don't know what your tricks you're playing, but I don't like it.
And you know, it dawned on Eli that it was God that was talking to Samuel.
God? Oh, no. What do I do? I'm not a good boy. I don't know what God wants with me. Oh, my, what do I do? What do I say?
And so Eli tells him, you go back to bed, you go to sleep, and when you hear the voice again, you just tell him, speak, Lord, your servant is listening.
That's all I've got to do?
That's all you got to do. And so Samuel went back, and he went to sleep.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Well, why didn't you?
I want to do it. If God's going to talk to me, I want to see him.
Well, eventually, you went to sleep.
I did?
Yes, you did, because you got too tired to stay awake. Then he went to sleep. And he heard the voice again. Samuel. Samuel. And you know what God spoke to him? And God told him some wonderful plans that he had for Samuel's life. And Samuel was able to fulfill those plans and experience some things that he would have never experienced had he not followed the Lord. And here's what Grandy and I want you to know. God has a purpose for your life too. Okay? He has a plan for your life. You may not know what it is right now, but God has a purpose for your life. Okay. And I think you were going to sing a song before you left.
Yes, I am. You may not have heard this one. Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me anywhere for thee." Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, "Here am I, send me."
Thank you, Grandy. Thank you, children. You can go to your classes now.
So you leaner. I'll kick on you next time, Tom.
Yeah, I'll take it. I need my water too. Thank you. So, we had a good number of children today. Glad to see them. Amen. Thank you, parents, for coming. I appreciate those who are working with the children. And if for some reason, so Kristen is working with them, the shepherds are working with them, my wife is working with them, and if they ever come in and say, "I need help," somebody needs to go help. Okay? All right? Mm-hmm. That'll happen every now and then. So we're still on plank number 11. We're still on God's guidance. We're talking about unshakable faith. And building a bridge of faith that will not collapse during troubled times. A lot of people have problems with God's guidance. But I want you to understand, just as Samuel was trying to talk to the children, Grandy was trying to talk to children, God has a plan for their lives, and God also has a plan for your life. And the Lord wants to guide you into His plan. Samuel heard the voice of the Lord. And he began following the Lord at an early age. He began seeking God's plan and fulfilling that plan. There are many important truths that Samuel embraced as a child that I think would be important for us as well. So number one, Samuel had a growing relationship with God. Samuel had a growing relationship with God. So it started as a youngster and continued throughout his life. The second thing we find out that he found God's purpose for his life. And let me just share this with you. You will never really be fulfilled in life until you begin to experience God's purpose for you. A third thing we discover in Samuel was that he was used by God to help others connect with God and to reach their potential. You may not be aware of it, but Samuel was the one who actually was responsible for ordaining King Saul, the first king of Israel. And Samuel spoke into Saul's life over and over and over. In the beginning, Saul listened to what Samuel had to say, but near the end of his life, he decided he wanted to do things his own way, go his own way, fulfill his own plan rather than fulfill God's plan for him. It didn't work out too good for Saul. Another person that Samuel was responsible for encouraging and connecting with the Lord was King David. And I'm sure you're aware of who he is. He was the second king of Israel, and the Lord used him in a mighty, mighty way. And so the truth is that God had a plan for Samuel. God had a plan for David, God had a plan for Saul, and God has a plan for you. That's the truth. And so we need to, in order to experience God's plan, one of the things we have to do is listen for His Spirit. We talked about that last week. And also follow what He has for us. When I was a young Christian, there were some passages of Scripture that were that spoke to me and impacted me in my journey and in my search for God's purpose for my life. I kind of like Samuel always knew that God had a purpose for me, but I didn't know what it was. And I began a search. And I don't know if you've ever considered it or not, but God has a purpose for you. You may have thought about that as a child. And maybe you haven't thought about it for years, but God has a purpose for you. So one of the questions for each of us, perhaps, is does God have a plan and a purpose for me? And if so, what is it and how can I find it? In Ephesians chapter 5, 17, listen to this passage. It says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay? So he's encouraging us to know in our heart what the will of the Lord is for each of our lives. He said, don't be unwise, but understand. So one of the things we find out, notice this, the Father has a plan for your life. According to this passage of Scripture, Father has a plan for your life. And listen to this. It's not such a secret that He wants to withhold it from you. He's more desirous of you knowing His plan than you are of knowing His plan. He has big plans for you. Also, He wants you to understand what His plan for your life is. He wants to reveal His plan to you, but it's not revealed to just anyone. It's revealed to those whom we find a little later in a passage of Scripture that Tom read earlier, that it begins to unfold to us. Another thing he says is, I don't want you to be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if you don't understand what God's will is for your life, this Scripture says that you're unwise. Don't be unwise, but understand what God's will is for your life. We're living in a day when a lot of people either have no direction in their lives or their direction carries them to destruction. Many are aimless, many are wandering, going wherever the current takes them. Some are looking for answers but have come up short. The question for many people is, do I have purpose? What am I here for? Does life have meaning? If there was ever a time when we need His direction as individuals and as a nation, as a community, now is the time. So a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting with a lady who is the wife of a police officer. And so this is secondhand. And she said that the suicide rate is at an all-time high here in Tillamook. The medical examiner told her that there are 3 to 4 suicides a week. Many of these are overdoses, and so it's hard to determine whether they're suicides, intentional or non-intentional. But there's 3 to 4 deaths because of these type incidents. Some people swim out into the ocean and never return. Some people take their own lives in ways that we're familiar with. And it says, if many have lived in a cocoon of protection for about a year and a half, and now they're very anxious. This is what the police officer said. It's as if they're so very anxious. Or maybe it was the medical examiner. They're so very anxious now. It's hard for them to get out in public. Cynthia and I were driving up 3rd Street, coming to where Rosenberg's is. And there was a fellow on a bicycle who so there was a truck beside us and then ourselves. And there was a fella on a bicycle that came out of Rosenberg's and came down the street and headed right for the truck. The truck stopped. Fella passed my lane, went over to the other lane. I heard later that he was arrested because after he got past the traffic, he jumped off his bicycle and jumped back in front of a truck to try to kill himself. According to this lady, there were 2 suicide attempts that day, him being one of them. People need purpose. People need hope. People need life. And I want you to know, if you're here today, I want you to know, if you're listening through Zoom, or if you hear this on a recording later, that God has a plan for your life. I want you to know that there's hope for you. I want you to know that God promises a hope and a future to you if you seek Him. If you seek Him. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You can have that life. That's a promise from the God the Father. That's a promise from Jesus the Son. But if you don't seek Him, you will never experience the abundant life that He has for you. God has a plan for your life. Father has a plan for your life. Jesus has a plan for your life. The Holy Spirit has a plan for your life. He has purpose for you. See, now God has a general plan for everyone. And that general plan is that we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Okay? That general plan is that we learn to live in fellowship and in love with one another. That general plan is for His children that we walk in holiness and love toward one another. That's His general plan for us. His general plan is that we walk in faith and that we share Jesus with other people. That's a general plan. But not only does God have a general plan for us, He also has a specific plan for you. This passage of Scripture in Romans 12, 1 and 2 that Tom read earlier says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Does that sound like that God has a will, a perfect will for your life? Of course it does. That's what He's saying here. God has a perfect will for you. But how? How do you prove or how do you know what His will is? And that's what one of the things this passage deals with. And so one of the things I've discovered to know God's will for my life is that His will has to be above my own will. I can't have any will of my own except to follow His will. Okay? If we have in our own heart and in our own life our own will and not willing to yield to the Lord, then we're not going to discover God's will for our lives. So one of the things this passage tells us is that we have to desire to please the Lord in all things. A second thing we find in this passage of Scripture is that you make no allowances for sin in your life. Make no allowances for sin in your life. That's not saying we don't sin. But what it is saying is that when you do sin, you are quickly to go to the Lord and ask His forgiveness for the things that you have done. Scripture says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. So in order to find God's will, one of the things you need to do is confess all known sin. Every sin that the Lord brings to your remembrance, to your mind, confess it and repent of it. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Confess all known sins like fear, rebellion, anger, hatred, bitterness. Confess them. A lot of times we don't confess anxiety, confess worry. A lot of times we look at those things and say, oh man, I worry wart. I just worry about everything. What's wrong with that? Well, Scripture says don't worry about anything. So, are we sinning if we worry? I believe we are, because we're not trusting Him. If you have trust on one hand and you have worry on the other, and if you have worry, you're not trusting. Right? So that's one of those sins I have to confess quite often. Lord, forgive me for not trusting You. Forgive me for worrying. Forgive me for taking on this burden that's not mine to carry. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse your heart through confession and repentance. Just cleanse your heart. And you know, it depends on how many sins you've got piled up you need to confess. It could take a minute. It could take an hour. Depending on when's the last time you went to confession to the Lord. You don't have to come to me. Please don't. But you can go to the Lord and you can confess and you can repent and you can ask His forgiveness and He will forgive you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, if you will confess your sins, I will cleanse you. I will make your heart pure. I will make your heart right. I will make your heart as white as snow. And then we can have that relationship that you're going to be able to receive what I tell you and be able to receive the plans and the purpose that I have for you. Another thing Scripture says in this Romans chapter 12, don't be led astray by the culture of the world, by its teachings and standards, but rather transform your mind, transform your thinking to agree with God. Transform your thinking to agree with God and not the world. Listen, our laws give us permission to do certain things that are contrary to God's word. Our laws give us permission to have an abortion. But what does God say? Our laws give us permission for drug use and alcohol abuse. What does God say? Our culture encourages sexual immorality, homosexuality, lesbianism, and other forms of sexual deviancy. But what does God say? Our culture says there are many roads that lead to heaven. What does God say? See, we have to transform our minds. And the longer we've been in the world, when the Lord brought you out of the world, He didn't intend for you to stay there. When the Lord brought you out of the world, He intended for you not to just come out physically, but also to transform your mind, because all of us come out with stinking thinking. Right? Every one of us come out of the world with stinking thinking. And so we have to transform our minds so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If we never transform our minds, if we never get the word of God into our heart, get the world out of our heart, we will never be able to find out God's perfect will for our lives. Can't do it. Because we will be wishy-washy. We'll go from this area to this area. We'll never know. We'll be in such confusion that we won't know where to go or what to do, because the world says this and they're very convincing. But what does God say? What does God say? You need to know what God says so you can put your heart and your mind and your soul into what God says and not what you think or what the world says. God has a plan for your life. And listen, God's plan for your life was written, was established before you were born. Look, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Many of you are familiar with verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And most of the time, we just stop there. But in verse 10, it says, for you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. God prepared before what? Before you were born. Do you think God knew you were going to be here at this time in your life? Do you think you were a mistake? Oh, man, to God. Oh, man. Oh, what happened here? Didn't mean for that to happen. Oops. No, God said, I see what's going to happen in the future. And I know the people I need there to do my work during this time. And I believe this. That God knew that I was going to be pastor here at Life Change Christian Fellowship. I didn't know I'd be here 28 years. I didn't know that. But God knew that. And so he said, because Brad's going to be here, then there are certain people that need to be around him to support him and to help him, and you're it. You're it. God picked you. God picked you. He knew what this community needed. He picked you. He knew what this church needed. He picked you. And I am so grateful he did. I am so grateful he did. You are a blessing to me. Here's what I want you to notice. God created you for a purpose. Before he ever formed you, he had a plan for your life. Plans that he established long ago, probably before the foundations of the world. Here's what God imagined. Before he formed me, you know, Bradford Smith, I want him to be pastor at Life Change Christian Fellowship. At least 28 years. 35 years. So I'm going to, and this is what I'm going to give him an experience. I'm going to give him instruction. I'm going to give him the trials he needs for him to accomplish the role as pastor at Life Change Christian Fellowship. You are his workmanship. In the New Living Translation, it says you are his masterpiece. Don't you like that? You are his masterpiece. It's like You're his work of art that he wants to show to everyone. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He said, I'm going to create Tom and Renee to work with Brad at Life Change. I'm going to create Matt to become a teacher and expositor of Scripture. Creating each of you for your purpose. And perhaps you haven't experienced God's purpose yet. Maybe you're still listening to the Holy Spirit, looking forward to that day. There's a promise. God, Father says that I will guide you to fulfill your purpose if you're willing. Listen to this passage in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I know this, that many of us have not reached our full potential. I know this, that many of us have not stepped into what God has called us to. This passage of Scripture says, if you want to know God's plan for your life, then just ask him. That's what it says. Get your heart right. Get your priorities in order. And ask him. Then listen. A lot of times we want to ask, but we don't want to listen. What if he asked me to do something I don't want to do? Well, we go back to Romans chapter 12 then, where it says, God's will has to supersede your own will. I shared earlier in the message that God has a general plan for all of his creation. All human beings to know him, to have a relationship with him through Jesus, because God gives purpose. So today, the invitation is that you connect with God, the Father, through giving your life to Jesus Christ. And probably, and it's possible that everyone here has done that. And perhaps for the Christians, he has a specific plan for you. So how far are you willing to fulfill God's plan for your life? How far are you willing to go with him? You're not too young to begin searching for God's plan. Neither are you too old. Neither are you too old. So, I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to make no allowances for sin in your life? Are you willing to lay your will aside if it does not fit God's plan? Are you transforming your mind so that you are in agreement with God? Would you bow your heads? Just bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to ask you a few questions. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just, if you believe that you are in the center of God's will, fulfilling what he has designed for you to do, would you just raise your hand? Okay. Thank you. Several of you. Thank you. Okay. If you would say, I don't know what God's perfect will for me is, but I'm willing to start the search, making no allowances for sin, setting my own agenda aside to accomplish his plan, and transforming my mind to agree with God. Would you raise your hand if you're willing to do that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Another question. or something that if you would acknowledge, I know Father has something more for me, and I believe I know what it is, but I have yet to step into it because of fear. Anyone? I just want to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Another question. I feel God is leading me in a specific direction, and I'm willing, but I don't want to know what the next steps are. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I see you. I want to pray for you. If the Lord showed you what the next right step was, would you go that direction? Okay, good. Good. Let me pray for you. Father, I come before you. And Lord, I thank you for this church. And Lord, there are some here who are struggling with life in general, who's struggling with their own life in particular, not wanting to let go of some things that's holding them back from your perfect plan. And Lord, I get it. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to work in the lives of these individuals. Lord, that they would begin to not find the pleasure in those things that they once found. But Lord, that it would become like gravel in their teeth, like a rock in their shoe. And they would become so uncomfortable with those things that they would be willing to lay it aside. And Lord, that they would seek you and begin to put you first in their lives. Father, there were several who raised their hands and said that they felt they knew what the next step was, but there's fear that's keeping them from moving that direction. Lord, you said that fear does not come from you. And so, Lord, I pray, you said that perfect love casts out fear. And so, Lord, we just pray for perfect love in each of our lives here today. That fear will not have rule and reign in the hearts and lives of us. Anyone in this congregation, we just stand against that in the name of Jesus. And God, we can trust you. No matter where you lead us, you will take care of us. And so, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And Lord, I come before you again with these individuals who don't know what the next step is. They're willing, but they don't know what the next step is. And so, Father, would you show them the next right step so that they can complete what you've begun in their heart? He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we accept the purpose that you have for us. God, help us to walk in it. Lord, there may be some here today who needs to just step out and commit to that next step. Lord, I pray today that that would be the case in Jesus' name. Well, still, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and the Lord has been prompting you to do something and you've been hesitant to take that next step, but right now you're saying, I want that. I'm going to take the next right step. Would you just stand up? Would you be willing to do that? And commit to the Lord. I'm taking this step in the direction I feel called to do. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Lord, I pray for these individuals. They know what they need to do. Give them the grace, the power to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. you would, worship team. I'm going to stand here at the front. And if you would like to have me pray for you, or if you want to make your decision public, I'm going to ask you to come forward and let us know.